America and its European allies are drawing up new sanctions plans against Russia. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Oil prices are moving higher this morning, with the Brent and West Texas benchmarks up about 1.5% to $109 and $104 a barrel. That's after U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said new measures, which could target Russian energy supplies, may be announced this week following allegations of war crimes in Ukraine. Four rounds of sanctions measures have already been approved in the month and a half since the war started. The BBC's Jessica Parker explains what more we're likely to see from Western allies.
Two musicians on the floor of the Belgian Parliament play Ukraine's national anthem, the prelude to an address by President Zelensky. He's been dialing in to talk to politicians around the world and sometimes to rebuke them. He reminded Belgian lawmakers of the rough diamonds still being sent from Russia into Antwerp, the world's diamond capital, as he called for further action.
As a country in the heart of Europe, you can inspire all other Europeans to do more to help us drive the occupiers out of Ukraine and restore precious peace. Peace which is more valuable than anything else, any valuables, any diamonds.
About 30 miles from the world's diamond capital is the EU capital, Brussels. Here, in a few dizzying weeks, four sanctions packages were passed and hailed by politicians as...
Our cooperation on the four successive waves of sanctions against Russia has been extraordinary and exceptional.
Eddie Fishman is a former lead official in the US State Department and helped design sanctions against Russia following the illegal annexation of Crimea in 2014. He says these latest sanctions are unprecedented in their speed, coordination and scale, but...
They are not unprecedented in their comprehensiveness. Iran sanctions, for instance, remain significantly more comprehensive than Russia sanctions. For example, every single major Iranian bank is sanctioned and cut off from SWIFT. In Russia, only one of the five largest Russian banks, VTB, is fully blocked and cut off from SWIFT. So there's quite a bit of room that the United States and Europe have to escalate sanctions in the weeks ahead.
I pop in to the European Parliament. Now, a reason certain Russian banks haven't been cut off from the SWIFT financial messaging system is energy. Europe is still buying masses of Russian oil and gas and needs a way to pay for it. This leads to what some argue is the big missing sanction.
We are going to talk about whether the European Union can afford to ban Russian oil and gas imports.
That's the subject of discussion at an event here, where one of the panellists is...
My name is Karen Patel. I'm a professor of economics from Munich.
Could the EU realistically just ban Russian gas and oil?
Yes, they could. It would not lead to mass poverty. It would be a severe cut. So there is going to be industries that will be massively affected.
Tomorrow, by the end of the week, or by the end of the year, when would it be possible?
I mean, the longer we get Russian coal and gas, etc., the more we can fill our storage. But in principle... If it happens tomorrow, then we'll survive it.
Survival is one thing, but the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has warned an immediate energy ban would trigger a recession. The EU says it plans to be independent of Russian fossil fuel well before 2030, but the war in Ukraine is now. And while sanctions against Russia may be unprecedented, they haven't stopped Putin yet.
That's the BBC's Jessica Parker reporting from Brussels there. Global stock markets are a little changed ahead of those sanctions announcements, but we're seeing some fresh evidence today of how sanctions are already affecting the Russian economy. New data showed the nation's services sector shrank in March at its fastest pace since May 2020. Companies that took part in the survey said reduced staffing reflected a drop in business confidence there. In the Eurozone, by comparison, service activity last month did slip from February, but it was still firmly in expansion territory as economies there continued to reopen from their pandemic lockdowns. To Sri Lanka now, where people are angry.
Whose country?
Our country!
Whose future?
Our
That's the sound of demonstrators gathered in Colombo last night, demanding the president's resignation over worsening shortages of food, fuel, and medicines that we've been talking about this week. The South Asian island's worst economic crisis in more than 7 decades comes after the nation devalued its currency last month ahead of talks with the IMF over a bailout. A few people explained what this crisis has meant for them.
People can't afford their daily rice, their dal, their basic necessities. People can't get on buses to come to work, to go to school.
How much worse can it get? There's no petrol. There's no diesel. Kids can't sit their exams because there's no paper. And there's no power for 12 hours a day.
Well, today, a newly appointed finance minister in the job for fewer than 24 hours has handed in his resignation. The government coalition has lost its parliamentary majority. Earlier this week, 26 cabinet ministers resigned from their posts, and protesters are increasing their calls for the president to go. From Colombo, the BBC's Archana Shukla explains what this means for the nation's economic stability.
The first and the foremost focus for the government has to be to find a finance minister who can take up the talks with IMF immediately. Now, with the finance minister again resigning and the post becoming vacant, it becomes a crucial challenge for the government. IMF has already said that the debt that Sri Lanka has is unsustainable and more measures would be required, you know, to make it sustainable.
Now, instability is also spreading to the country's central bank, which has delayed a planned rate decision this week. And there's also a new central bank governor due to start Thursday. What do we know about him so far?
Mr. Veerasinghe, he's currently in Australia and he intends to come back to Sri Lanka and take charge by Thursday onwards. There was supposed to be a very crucial monetary policy review meeting this week to talk about interest rates that could help bring down inflation in the country with prices skyrocketing here. There is a need, bankers say, to increase interest rates because the interest rates at this point in time in the country are very unrealistic and banks are finding it difficult to give more loans. So on that front, also, the government needs to bring, you know, some policies on ground that are making some difference. All of this will be very crucial to win the confidence of the citizens who are protesting on the street, which is also leading to a lot of uncertainty and instability in the country.
And these protesters are also calling for the president's resignation. How likely is that looking at this point?
The protesters have been very clear from the beginning that they want the Rajapaksa family to move out of power. This is a general feeling that we are seeing in the country, that they have eroded public wealth. They have eroded our country's reserves into programs and infrastructure projects that did not bring in much revenue for the country. They took on commercial loans with China and their economic policies were faulty. But if you look at it from an economic perspective, a change in government will not mean immediate solutions. Any new government that comes into power will be dealing with the same persisting issues. So whether an old government or a new government will have to look at seeking some support from allies, from countries like India that they're already getting, maybe some restructuring and some support even from China, who's a long-time aide now, to get things moving on ground. At the end of the day, any government needs to get fuel to the country to start the economy engine.
The BBC's Archana Shukla for us in Colombo. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.